The Old Testament lesson is from the prophet Joel, chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a feast, a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6. We implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by the truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing but possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And please rise for the gospel lesson. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And please be seated, and we continue with hymn 610. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 59th chapter. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. For he put on the righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, the coastlands he will fully repay. For they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from rising off on the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against him. Now, you're not going to find Ash Wednesday listed in the Bible anywhere. Nowhere does it talk about it. But its origins go back to the very early church. And I just want to talk just briefly about the use of ashes in church. We put the ashes on the forehead. Ashes were used in the Old Testament quite oftentimes to show humility, mortality, fasting, and sorrow. Excuse me. They put on the ashes to remind them or to encourage them to repent of their sins. Because ashes also said, you're mortal. You only have a limited time to repent. Now, when the church first started doing ashes, probably about the 6th or 7th century A.D., ashes were sprinkled on the top of your head. Now we rub it in the sign of the cross. Why do we do it in the sign of the cross? Do you know why? Think about baptism. I make the sign of the cross both upon the forehead and apart in the heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. It's reminding us of our baptism by putting the cross on the forehead. And by the way, ashes used to come from palm branches that were used the previous Palm Sunday. And some churches still do that. We attended a church a number of years ago who actually would burn the palm branches. So I guess you had to make sure you had the ashes just right. Otherwise, I'd be scratching your forehead with a part of a palm branch. Now, few denominations today follow the visible tradition of putting on the ashes or actually have Ash Wednesday services. Now, they'll argue, and in a sense, they're right, it's more important what's going on in the heart. Today marks 40 days before Easter. And we spend the 40 days before Easter focusing on Jesus' battle with Satan. Now, the 40 days do not include Sundays. That's where people, you'll hear people say they gave up chocolate for Lent, but Sundays is a free day. That's why. Because Sundays aren't counted as part of the 40 days, because Sundays are seen as little mini Easter celebrations. But even Sundays during the Lenten season take a much more somber approach. We focus on the battle between Satan and Christ. Now, why the 40 days? When Jesus first began his earthly ministry, how long was he in the wilderness being tempted by Satan? 40 days. During Lent, we make that journey with Christ again. We think about our own temptations, that Satan is constantly tempting us. We think of the three temptations that Christ had in the desert. The way it's actually worded is, he was constantly tempted. This just happened to be an example of three of them that we have listed, especially in the book of Mark. Lent is a time when we evaluate ourselves in the light of God's Word. It's also a time when we abandon, I call them well-worn sins, sins that we're just comfortable with. You know, we do them so often, we just get used to them. Lent's a time when we look down, dig down deep, and find those as well. Isaiah 59, 12 says, "Our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us." Now imagine if you had to try to keep a record of all your sins for 1 week. I just say 1 week, not a whole month, not a whole year. Now you would have to write down everything you did wrong, you didn't do. You got to put all the thoughts in there. So like when you're driving and you have all those interesting thoughts about other drivers' intellectual ability, well, that would go in that category as well. And if we were honest and could do it, which we cannot, we would find out that in the course of a week, we've committed thousands, if not tens of thousands, of sins. Imagine having to stand before the court of God and try to defend ourselves and say we didn't sin. And God says, the evidence from just 1 week would convict you. "Our offenses are ever with us," Isaiah writes. "We acknowledge our iniquities." Lent is a time of inward looking. The attitudes, the lifestyles that we need to change. Isaiah points out that rebellion and treachery are against the Lord. Turning our backs on God, fomenting oppression and revolt, uttering lies that our hearts have conceived. So what are my sins? Another way of putting it is, when have I not acted like a Christian? Have I always been loving? Have I always been patient? Have I always loved God more than other things? Do I let other things become more important than God? Do I try to assert my will over others? The first part of repentance is to recognize sin. Isaiah writes, "The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene." God looked down and was appalled at what he saw going on in Israel and that there was no one righteous enough to redeem the people. So Isaiah is prophesying about Christ who is to come. And so his own arm works salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. Now, listen to the battle gear that Christ wears for us. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. That's not a picture we generally have of Christ. I don't think I've ever seen that in church art. A picture of Christ as a warrior. And certainly we don't usually think of him wearing garments of vengeance. Because we think of vengeance as a sin. Christ is causing vengeance to happen when he battles Satan for our very souls. And Judgment Day is also talked about in this passage from Isaiah. "According to what they have done, so he will repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due." There is, as we know, eternal punishment for those who do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And sadly, too much of the world falls into that category. Isaiah writes, "From the west, men will fear the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along." Judgment Day, when everybody will see the glory of the Lord. Now, we'll go back to repentance just for a bit. This is when we recognize our sin, when we turn to Christ, and then try to live better. It's just not saying I'm sorry, but making a conscious effort to change. Isaiah again writes, "The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord." Lent is a spring cleaning, if you want to put it this way, of our souls. I just hope I'm better at the spring cleaning of my soul than I am of the spring cleaning of my garage, which is now entering its sixth year. I'm persistent. Every year I put in on my New Year's resolution. And every year I put on to lose weight. And I'm still working at them both. They're projects in the works. But I hope my ability to look at cleansing my soul is more important. Looking down and acknowledging sin. Looking to Christ who battled for us. You know, when we realize that when we would be, if we could be without Christ and without any hope at all, it makes us appreciate Him even more. Without Him, we would have no hope. The last part of Lent is leaving sin behind. I read a good analogy for this. I've never smoked, well, half dozen cigars in my life, you know. But smokers say that the hardest thing to do is what? Quit. So now, some people are very successful and do it right away. I'm not equating sin and smoking, okay? I don't want to go there, but I just want to talk about the struggle. For some people, they can just say they quit one day and they're done with it. Other people, it's an ongoing project. They keep having to work at it. Well, that's part of what Lent is too. We got to keep working at it. Keep trying to conform our lives to look like the life of Christ. And in conclusion, I'm going to give you the same challenge I gave you last Ash Wednesday. Read a half a chapter of the Gospel of John each day. During each one of the 40 days of Lent, when you get to the Easter story is when Easter will occur. All right? It is a wonderful way to go through the life of Christ in the course of 40 days without having to spend large amounts of time doing it. But it'll help focus your mind on what He's done for us. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.